Absolute Radio Country is filled with the best sounds from Nashville 24 hours a day. But even we can't fit in everything. You'll find a full story right here. This is Country Music Talk, the podcast that takes you behind the scenes of the world of country music.
This is Absolute Radio Country. I'm Jenny Longdon, and my guest today is a singer-songwriter who has over 20 country number ones to his name. His new album, About a Woman, came out last week, and it is amazing. Thomas Rhett, how are you?
I'm better than I deserve. Thanks for asking.
Oh, it's such a pleasure to talk to you.
Likewise.
Thank you very much. I want to start off talking about your track, Beautiful As You. It's becoming a huge hit. It's been to number one on the UK country radio airplay chart. It's also climbing the charts in the US. So tell us about this track.
Yeah, I saw that. I think y'all posted about it, and we reposted y'all's clip on that. Thank you for that. Man, it always feels good to know that, the first track off a record can have success. Because I feel like the first track is always such a telltale sign of like what the rest of the project is going to be. And man, we went back and forth so often between, what is the right first choice? And to me, Beautiful As You was one of those tracks that really didn't feel or sound like anything else on the record, but had this sort of like repeatability. And it was also just really authentic to me and sort of, what the rest of this record was about, which is about a woman. And I just feel very blessed to know that it's doing its job and people are resonating with it. So
how does it feel to have the number one on the UK country radio airplay chart?
Oh man, I don't get that news very often, if ever, maybe. And so it felt really cool because I've been coming to the UK since like 2016. So I've made definitely a bunch of trips over the pond. Last year, I got to come and headline C2C and get to play in London and Glasgow and Dublin. And every time we get to come over there, I kind of feel. More and more people coming out to the shows. And so to be able to kind of have a stamp of a number one song with you guys is really special. So thank you for that.
Yeah. And you were just in the UK, weren't you? But this was like not business, it was pleasure.
Yeah, I was there for like 4 hours. My wife and kids were there for like 5 days trying to get used to the time zone because we just spent the last few weeks in Africa. So I came from Denver straight into Heathrow, went and rode the London Eye, saw Big Ben with my kids, and then flew straight down to Uganda. So it was a very, very brief visit, enough time for a pint and a ride on the Eye. They were there for like 5 days, so they got to, I think they went and saw like Harry Potter World, and they got to really explore London and all the things it has to offer. And that was their first time out of the country, so we all had a great time.
That's cool. And I have to ask, any plans to come back soon, Thomas Rhett?
There's always plans in the works to come back to the UK, and especially like hopefully this one and some other ones off this record do what they're supposed to do as well over in the UK. And I think I've just gotten to watch the UK explode so much. I feel like when I first started coming, there was really only a handful of artists that were doing it, and now I feel like our entire genre has really just embraced coming across the pond, not only to the UK but down into Germany and the Netherlands and Australia and all over the place. And so it's really cool to watch country music have this massive sort of like global impactful moment. So I think there's gonna be a lot of plans in the future to come back.
Yes, that's what we want to hear. It really has exploded. Like you go to, I'm not in London, but I visit all the time, and you go like to London, for example, and I noticed last time I was there last week, just so many pairs of cowboy boots that you just didn't see before. And I'm like, it's happening. It's starting. So your album's called About a Woman. Is the album all inspired by your wife, Lauren?
Yeah, I mean, in many ways, it is sort of a, it's 14 tracks about just like different versions of our story, So we just released a song called Overdrive, which kind of starts at the very beginning, like this like high school, young, nostalgic type of love, which, all the way to I Could Spend Forever Loving You, which is like a futuristic, when we're 95 sitting on a porch kind of love. And so, and sort of everywhere in between, there's a lot of love and there's a little bit of heartbreak and kind of just the ups and downs of a long journey with the person that you love. And so, but man, I think the difference in this project is that for the most part, every song is danceable. And I think that was what my kids and my wife were like, hey, when you start writing this next record, we just want to dance. We want to smile and want to feel joy. And so that was kind of the main mission of this project, was really just to kind of just breathe joy and infuse it into every song, which will always translate into, if you've ever been to my live show, it's very up tempo. It's very fun. It's very kind of energetic and hype. And I just wanted to make a record that sort of kind of helped elevate our live show, and I think mission accomplished on this one. So
great. So it's passed the test, so your kids have been dancing to the tracks.
100%. 100%.
That is so cute. And how does Lauren feel about you writing songs about her? It's something I've always wondered.
She's probably over it at this point. You know, there's 15 straight years of that. But I always kind of make it my mission. I'm like, man, I wonder if I can write one on this one that really kind of floors her. And there's a track on this record called What Could Go Right, which is her absolute favorite. And I think this song literally is like a verbatim kind of page out of a journal of the night that I told her that I loved her. And my co-writers on this song did such a great job at like creating that melody and that atmosphere and that vibe for this song to kind of make this feel very nostalgic, but also like very anthemic. And I feel like it's just begging to be played in a stadium. And so I think that one, I was really proud of that one in the aspect of getting to play that for my wife, because I obviously she remembers that night just as well as I do. And so to be able to portray that in a song that hits her in the feels in the same way that it hit me was a big accomplishment for me.
That's lovely. So would you say that your wife and your family are your biggest inspiration when it comes to songwriting?
100%. And even more so than an inspiration, they're just the best, in my opinion, song pickers. You know what I mean? Like, I know for a fact that when I play like a slow, like kind of singer or songwritery type of song, my kids are probably not going to enjoy it, because they just want to, you know, they just want to listen to the Jonas Brothers and things that make them want to dance. And so, but those are more for me. But I know that when I'm trying to write just a banger or a bop, it's like, it's got to be approved by my kids, because their pulse of what is cool is arguably better than mine.
They're also, I mean, the ages they are, the brutal honesty is there, isn't it? Like, you're not going to get any sugarcoating, I imagine.
No, they are not afraid to look at you and be like, I don't feel that. You know what I mean? And so that's when you have to like really trust your gut and decide how much you love that song. But yeah, I think overall, from a team perspective on this project, we were all really honest with each other. Like, I'm not surrounded by a lot of yes people. And I think that has been really important for my career, to be able to play a record for, you know, my manager or my producer or my team, and then be like, hey, I think half of this is really great. I think we still got work to do on the other half. And I think taking that criticism and like continuing to try to elevate and make it better is always what makes a record great. It really is a team effort.
Do you think any of your kids, are they showing signs that they might want to follow in your footsteps and get into music? Have you had any inklings of that?
I mean, they all love music. They all love to bang around on the piano or the drums or the guitar, and they're singing and dancing constantly. But not enough for them to look at me and be like, hey, this is what I want to do with my life. You know, like right now, like Ada James wants to be a cop when she grows up. I don't know where that came from. And like Willa Gray wants to be a heart surgeon. You know, they're all over the place with like what they want to do. And so, you know, but once they turn like 15 or 16, I'm sure I'll be able to tell if one of them like really wants to, you know, pursue music or write songs or be in a band or whatever. Or so, but it's awesome to kind of get to watch them sort of fall in love with what they're going to be when they grow up.
I love that. Like, I've got a 2-year-old and I just look at him and you do just think, don't you, what are you going to do in this world?
Yeah, who are you going to be? Yeah, it's a wild and scary thought, but also one that makes me, you know, really excited.
So do you do most of your songwriting at home, or do you prefer to go away to do that?
I go away, really just for the sake of distraction purpose. Like, I think when I have written songs at home, there's always a kid that needs something, or there's always someone screaming outside. Like in the interview before this, like 4 kids literally just walked in here wearing nothing but diapers. And I'm just like, what do you mean to do? And so for me, like, I used to write a bunch of my songs on the road. So I'd bring writers out on the bus and we would do like a 3-show weekend. But now I create these camps. So like I'll pick my favorite people that I want to be with, and we'll rent a house in the mountains, or we'll rent a house at the beach, or we'll rent a house on the East Coast or West Coast, and like literally just camp there for like 4 days. Because for me, I feel like one day is not enough. 5 days is too long. And around day 2 and day 3, you really start to get in this rhythm. And a lot of the time, 5 or 6 songs from the project are written during that time, because everybody's kind of on the same page. It's like, what do you need? How do we do it? And what kind of content do we need to write? So I think camps for me are sort of like the new way that I'm going to write records in the future. So
that sounds awesome. And a great way to just be like, I'm going to go to the mountains. I have to. It's work. Like, I'd be like, I like writing songs at the spa.
For sure. I would fall asleep at the spa.
Do you have a favorite song of yours that you like to play live?
I kind of thought that Die Happy Man would get really old. But still to this day, it is probably I think because of what that song meant to my career, like every single night when we get to that song, I'm like, man, I'm just reminded of like where this whole thing began. And so that song to me is like nostalgic in many ways. And what that song has meant to so many people, you know, that song has been a song that people have proposed to at my concerts or used as their first dance at their wedding or used for their anniversary song. And so, you know, to have been a part of something that really impacted so many hearts back then, I think that song will never get old for me to play. So that would probably be my favorite.
And we loved your song. I hope I'm saying it right. Mama's House.
Yeah, Mama's House.
Yes. with Morgan Wallen. What was it like working with him on that track?
It was good. You know, we wrote that song in 2020, and it was the first song that I ever really wrote with Morgan. We wrote it on Zoom just like this. And I remember, you know, if you listen to the song really closely at the beginning, you hear Morgan answer the phone talking to his grandmother. And that was the actual recording of the Zoom that we wrote that day. Like, we were writing a song that we all kind of hated, actually. And Morgan got that phone call from his grandmother, and he came back, and I was like, man, where does your grandmother live? And he said, East Tennessee. And I said, I've got a grandmother in East Tennessee. And I call her Mama as well. And Morgan said, I call mine Mama. And I was like, maybe we should write a song about our grandparents. And we were both like, yeah, this song will never see the light of day, but let's do it. And then 4 years later, you know, he was gracious enough to let me put that on my 20 number ones vinyl package, and literally didn't even work it to the radio. And the next thing you knew, it was top five. And that became my 22nd number one song. So I'm really proud to know that in country music, you can write a song about your grandmother and the world can resonate with it.
And what did the Mamas think about it?
Oh, they were jacked. They were very famous in their little towns. And I don't know if you saw the video that I posted with my grandmother, but she was at the beach with me the week that the song went number one. So we cannonballed into the pool. And it was just a really, really special moment for me and my grandmother and Morgan and his grandmama. So it was a really cool thing.
So who are you listening to in country music right now?
Man, I've really tried to make it a point to kind of listen to all the new kids. This guy, Wyatt Flores, I'm really into. This girl, Ella Langley, I think she was actually just over there. She's great. This artist named Tucker Wetmore has kind of been blowing up on my you know, radio page. And Connor Smith, Dasha Shabuzi. I feel like there's just such a mixture of different styles of country that are kind of exploding right now that I think, you know, might be the future of what we're going to hear in the next decade. So it's a really fun time to be kind of the veteran in country music right now, getting to kind of bring some of these folks on the road with us.
Who, or maybe of who you just mentioned, is there anyone that you would really love to collab with? Do you hear artists and you think, oh, I'd love to write a track with this person?
You know, me and Megan Maroney did a writers round with each other a couple weeks ago. We did this like random like private gig in Montana, and I had been a fan of Megan, and I actively like listened to her music, but I think getting to watch her with just an acoustic guitar and be able to tell the stories in the way that she did, she was so charming, and she's actually hilarious. Like, she could be a stand-up comedian, like a lot along with being an artist. But I think, you know, me and Megan have been texting quite a bit back and forth, just sending each other songs. And I think it would be really, really awesome to be able to land on one with Megan to do together. I think that would be kind of my dream collab at this point in our genre. So,
oh, that's great to hear, because she is awesome. We're big, big fans. And you and Megan are on the Twisters soundtrack.
Yeah.
That soundtrack is amazing. All of the songs.
Maybe the best soundtrack that I have heard in quite a while.
I think
minus The Sandlot. The Sandlot will forever be the best soundtrack in the history of movies. So,
okay. Well, I just think it's brilliant, and it's—I mean, the film as well is awesome. But what was it like to be a part of that?
You know, this is hilarious because, like, I think my wife is really proud of me for a lot of different reasons. But Twister, like the original, is still like my wife's like top five all time favorite movies. I don't know why, but she loves the original Twister. And so I remember when the trailer came out, and I remember their team was reaching out to a bunch of country artists to see if we had any songs that fit certain scenes. And so I am in this one like rodeo scene, and they asked for like a really up-tempo kind of honky-tonk 90s feeling song. And I literally had this song in my bank that I wrote last year called Feeling Country that literally hit all these different guidelines. And so I was like, I don't know if this song is going to make my record because I don't know if it fits the vibe of this album, but this sounds perfect for this scene. So I sent it to them and they loved it. And when they told me that I was going to be on the soundtrack, my wife literally looked at me and she was like, this is the most proud of you that I have ever been. in my life that you have a song in the new Twisters movie. And I was like, gosh, it does not take much to impress you. So that was the big win.
So that's how it works. That's really interesting. So they said to you, we want you a song from you for this part of the movie. Because actually, and you're saying you're all about the fun. That is a really fun part of the movie as well when your song plays.
Yeah, 100%. It was almost like, you know, we wrote that song. I didn't really know why we wrote it. I think I was just in like a 90s country mood that day. But, you know, I'm convinced that every song ends up finding, you know, the right place that it's supposed to be. And it's been a song we've already put in our live set. People already know the words. You know, a lot of the time when you hear like a soundtrack record, those songs really don't make it past the soundtrack. Like they kind of just live and die by the movie. But I kind of feel like this soundtrack is actually going to have a lot of momentum and a lot of wheels outside of the movie as well. So that's a really special thing to be a part of.
Yeah, that's great. And it is. It's not just like the soundtracks at the end when the credits roll. It's throughout the whole movie. So it really is awesome.
For sure.
That's great. Well, thank you so much for talking to us here at Absolute Radio Country, Thomas Rowe. It's been an absolute pleasure. I have been, ever since I started on this station, I've been desperate to chat to you. So
thank you so much. It really does mean the world. Thank you for your time and hope to see you in the UK very soon. Right on. Thanks, Jenny.
The Country Music Talk podcast from Absolute Radio Country.
An in-depth look behind the scenes at the world of country music.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. We'll have another dropping soon for y'all, so don't forget to keep it country.
If you enjoy the Country Music Talk podcast, chances are you'll also enjoy Absolute Radio Country. It's the place where real music matters, and we love country music just as much as you do. You'll find us online on the free Absolute Radio app, on digital radio throughout the UK, or just ask your smart speaker to play Absolute Radio Country.